This is a free recording by Cambridge Cookbooks, etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فهو الرحمة المهداة والنعمة المصداة والسراج المنير اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a verse that to us is one of the most painful verses in his book, Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. Messengers have passed away before him. Will it be when he dies or is slain that you turn back on your heels? And whoever does so will not harm Allah at all, but Allah will reward the thankful. Combination of the prediction, certainty of the death of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he who was a ni'matul uzma, the greatest blessing, with the promise that Allah will reward the thankful, the grateful. What is it that is to be grateful for? We give thanks for the blessing of prophecy, for being taken out of the shadows into the light, out of hundreds of thousands of years, in the case of the Arabs, of pagan feuding, no law, no conscience, just the tribes with their mutual vendetta, into the light of Tawheed. That is sufficient grounds for gratitude. This is the moral victory of Islam, that they were taken in that short period from the darkness of Jahiliyyah into the light of pure Tawheed. And the test, the greatest test that the Salaf faced, the greatest test faced by any generation of Muslims, besides which the tribulations which confront us are as nothing, was the death of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People found that an unbearable trauma, and their newfound belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their tawheed, their tawakkul, their rida, was stretched almost to breaking point. This was the final test, whether they were indeed sadiqeen, truthful, and whether they were indeed, despite everything, shakirin, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true shakir, the grateful one, is the one who is grateful for all of Allah's decrees, despite the apparent catastrophe, the great calamity to have befallen anyone, which was the death of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we look at those few days in which he falls ill and passes away, we learn more and more about him. That is a situation in which any of us is tested to the limit. When you are seriously ill, when you have a fever, when it looks as if you're looking out upon the world for the last time, that is when we are sorely tested. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in those days has just one concern, which is the future of his ummah. About himself, he says nothing. About his ummah, he is utterly concerned. And we can learn a lot from reading the accounts of Al-Wafat and Nabawiyyah, the prophetic death of the things that he said, the things that despite the effort it must have cost him, he really wanted to be heard, the things that he wanted to leave his people with. Because of the fear of an inqilab going back on your heels, turning back from the way that he had shown. Earlier messengers had had that fate befalling their people. It would have caused him so much pain if that had been a possibility. So we find, for instance, a hadith, Ruwiya anna Jibreel alayhi salam, qala lahu an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Jibreel, and he's in this state, man li ummati ba'di, who shall be for my ummah when I am gone? فأوحى الله تعالى إلى جبريل بشر حبيبي أني لا أخذله في أمتي. Give to my beloved the good news that I shall not let him down, I shall not disappoint him regarding his ummah. وبشره بأنه أول الناس خروجا من الأرض إذا حشروا. And give him the good news that he shall be the first person to leave the ground, to be resurrected when mankind is resurrected. وَأَنَّهُ سَيِّدُهُمْ إِذَا جُمِعُوا, and that he shall be their Lord and Master when they are gathered together. وَأَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَى الْأُمَمِ كُلِّهَا حَتَّى تَدْخُلَهَا أُمَّتُهُ, and that the garden is completely forbidden to all of the other ummas until his ummah has entered it. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ الْآنَ قَرَّتْ عَيْنِي. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now I am at peace. Despite everything, the sickness, the imminence of death, he was at peace. Why? Because he had been given this bishara from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of these things. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not let him down, would not betray him, would not disappoint him regarding his ummah. And this is the ultimate test. When you yourself are beset by imminent calamity, to think about others. When in that moment of extreme pressure, when most of us become bad-tempered and ratty and difficult, to think about others, to pray for others in that situation, that's the measure of what we are. So we know that when he was ill, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the room of Aisha, the people gathered around, they were gathering around the masjid, afraid and not knowing what was going to happen. Their world was going to come to an end. فَدَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ الْعَبَّاسُ وَعَلِيٌّ, and Al-Abbas and Ali, ومعهم الفضل, the son of Al-Abbas, they came into the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to visit him. And he said, what are they saying? And they said to him, يَخَافُونَ عَلَيْكَ الْمَوْتِ, they are afraid that you are going to die. And what does he do with this? He thinks, presumably, this is implicit, there they are outside. There's a danger that the old jahili practices of panic, of despair, of lack of rida, of contentment are going to take over, and that the moment I'm gone, there's going to be some kind of outcry and catastrophe, and people wailing and screaming. And so what does he do? فَثَارَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Thara is a strong word. It means he got up. He was like in a state of revolt. He stood up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَخَرَجَ ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم معصوب الرأس, and the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had a bandage thing tied around his head because of the sweat that was pouring forth from him. He was really in a bad state of fever. ويخط رجليه, and he dragged his feet as he walked along. حتى جلس على أسفل نرقات من المنبر, until he sat down on the lowest step of the minbar. That's as far as he could make it, which would be sat down. And then people rushed towards him. And then he praised Allah and extolled him. And he said, people, it's reached me that you are afraid that I'm going to die. And then he said, كَأَنَّهُ إِسْتِنْكَارٌ مِنْكُمْ لِلْمَوْتِ, as if it was a rejection on your part of the fact of death. In other words, a rejection of Allah's decree, of the way in which human beings have to be. Has not my own death notice already been read to you? Have you yourself not been given your own death notices? Because the Quran says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, every soul shall taste of death. Don't you know this? Isn't this something that has sunk in? This is what he's saying to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hal khulida nabiyyun qabli? Was any prophet before me granted eternal life? And the people are listening. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he's got their attention, he then moves on to his own situation, to what he wants to convey to them, which is, usikum bil muhajirina khayra. I urge you to be good to the muhajirin. And then they know he's talking about how they should be once he is no longer amongst them. I urge you to be good to the muhajirin. Because they were the first. They were the ones who came. They're the first Muslims in Islam. Wabil ansar. And then he says long and beautiful sentences about the ansar. And how, alam yushatirukum fid diyar. So then they give you half of their houses and half of their wealth. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. And they gave to others, though theirs was the greater need. So he praises the Muhajirin and the Ansar, bringing them together. And then he says some other things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, فَمَنْ وُلِّيَ مِنْكُمْ عَلَىٰ رَجُلَيْنَ فَلْيَقْبَلْ مِنْ مُحْسِنِهِمْ وَلْيَتَجَاوَزْ عَنْ مُسِيئِهِمْ. Whoever will be given authority to judge between two men, let him accept what comes from the one of the two who is good, and let him be forgiving towards the one of the two who is bad. It's like his quick final soundbite for judges. This is going to be important. If you're in a position of authority, or if you're a judge, this is the basic prophetic commandment. The basic ground rule of all shara'i judgment is the one who is good, the muhsin, the one who has done well, accept what they say and accept what they come with. The one who has done wrong, tajawaz anhu, be as forgiving as you can. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Don't be hard on him. And that is always the way of the wise qadi. We have a presumption in Islamic law, as in English law, of the presumption of innocence. Everybody is innocent until proven guilty. And the basic practice of the qadi's court is always courtesy and hospitality, not prejudging, and being as forgiving as possible, even to those who have done wrong. They may merit punishment. There has to be punishment. There have to be boundaries in society. But this mujawaza, which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is leaving his community with, very important principle for judges who often can get too used to their position, and there's very little comeback. They can become hard-hearted. They have to have this forgiving quality. And this is what he's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, وَإِنِّي لَفَرْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْحَوْضِ. I shall be before you at the Hawd. And the Hawd is the great lake, the great basin in the next world, which shall be the place where we meet the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّهُ لَأَشَدُّ بَيَاضًا مِنَ اللَّبَنِ وَأَلْيَنُ مِنَ الزَّبَدِ وَأَحْلَى مِنَ الشَّهَدِ. And it shall be more white than milk. And it will be softer than yogurt. And it will be sweeter than honey. مَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ لَمْ يَزْمَأْ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. Whoever drinks from it shall never thirst again. That's the end of suffering. That's the final end of any worry, of any pain, physical or spiritual, once you are there at the hawd of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you have been rubbed there at his hand, that is the end of suffering. So he's giving them good news. He will be there for us at that time. And this is the mawrid, the place where the believers hope to be at the end of time. So these are some of the things that he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he also gives us, as one would expect, some kind of political advice. He says, لَا يَسْتَعْجِلَنَّكُمْ إِسْتِبْطَاءُ أَمْرٍ. Do not be hasty when something is naturally coming slowly. Do not be impatient. فَمَنْ غَالَبَ اللَّهَ غَالَبَ. Whoever seeks to overcome Allah in his decrees, Allah will overcome him. That's very important for revolutionaries, for instance, those who aren't willing to seize the appropriate moment but want everything to happen now. If things naturally are proceeding at a particular speed, don't try and hurry them up unnecessarily and inappropriately, because Allah's decree is the decree that ultimately will prevail. وَغَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ. He is the one whose affair comes to pass. So these are some of the advices that he gives, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his ummah in that situation. And he returns, and that's the last time that Jamaa see him. And he returns to the house of Aisha, and we find it's a very human description, and most of it actually comes from the hadith from Aisha, radiallahu anha, his last hours, his head lying in her lap. And there was a pot of water next to him, and occasionally he would dip his fingers into the pot of water, and he would be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she says that she was holding him, that she was holding him by the chest as his head was in her lap. فَجَعَلَ يُغْمَى عَلَيْهِ. And then he started to faint, to lose consciousness. وَكَانَ إِذَا أَفَاقْ يَقُولْ بَلِ الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. When he came to again, and I was, as she says, wiping the sweat from him. When he came to again, he said, كَأَنَ الْخِيَارَ قَدْ عَادَ إِلَيْهِ. As though he was given the choice again. بَلِ الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. Rather, I choose the highest companion. Because the day before, the angel of death had come. And she knew who this was because he came in the time that wasn't the hour of Jibreel alayhi salam. The angel of death had come, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everybody out except her. Aisha was, because of her maqam, allowed to remain. And the Holy Prophet was uniquely given the choice. But he chooses al-Rafiq al-A'la, the highest companion. And she says after that, لا يختارنا إذن. She's human, she's a woman, he's not going to choose us. He's choosing the supreme companion. فَكَأَنَّ الْخِيَارَ عَادَ إِلَيْهِ. It was as though the choice had been given back to him. And then he would say, وَكَانَ يَقُولُ الصَّلَاةُ الصَّلَاةُ لَا تَزَالُوا مُتَمَاسِكِينَ مَا صَلَّيْتُمْ جَمِيعًا. The prayer. You will continue to be close-knit to each other for as long as you pray together. الصلاة والصلاة لا يزال يوصي بها حتى مات. He continued to say this, to urge its importance, until he died. This was the last thing that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The prayer. So that's another thing that he leaves us with. The prayer. The vast importance of the prayer. And the social significance for Muslims of the prayer. Muslim communities holding together because of the closeness, the intimacy, the reality of praying together, equal ibadallahi ikhwana, Allah's servants as brethren in his sight, part of the radical equality of Islam, that there we are all together, equally nothing before the infinity and the majesty and the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he commands this as well. And then he passes away, and she knows that it's almost there, so she's calling others to come. And the first one to come was her brother, Abdullah. But Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam dies before anybody comes. He's just there with her. This was Allah's decree. Just the two of them at the end of his life. And she said, وَكَأَنَّ اللَّهَ سَدَّهُمْ عَنَّا. It was as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept them away from us. This was to be just their moment. And then, of course, the word gets out and people can't believe it. They're traumatized. Remember, they've had 20 years of real monotheism, and before that, a million years of everything else. What is there beneath the surface? And he's afraid of this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he dies, which is why he makes these prayers. What is it beneath the surface that now is going to make its last bid to get out, to burst out like a volcano bursting through a crust that's formed over it? The old hamiyah, the old fevers of jahiliyyah, the reversion to tribalism, the reversion to everything that they had been before. So people are in this state of extraordinary, almost catatonic unawareness of what happens next. What now? No more revelation, no more Jibreel, no more sunnah, no more Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The whole structure of their lives has suddenly been demolished, and they're facing the unknown. What next? And different Sahaba reacted in different ways. Sayyidina Ali, Uqayd, he was kind of unable to walk. He just sat or lay and wasn't able to move. He was unable to do anything. Sayyidina Uthman became dumb. He couldn't say anything. The trauma was so great for him that he wasn't saying anything at that time. And Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, of course, because of his love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the vigor, the virility of the man. He's the one who famously stands up and says, "I will punish anybody who says that Allah's Messenger has died. La yurji anna Allah. Allah will certainly bring him back." And there's this calamity. Nobody knows what will happen next. And then as the hadith goes on, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes in. That is Aisha. And he sees the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ فَأَكَبَّ عَلَيْهِ And he looks at him and he bends over and he says, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ May my father and my mother be your sacrifice, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of God. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُذِيقَكَ الْمَوْتَ مَرَّتَيْنِ Allah will never cause you to taste death twice. And so he goes out and famously he says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتَ Whoever used to worship Muhammad, let him know that Muhammad has died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ رَبَّ مُحَمَّدٍ فَإِنَّهُ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ And whoever used to worship the Lord of Muhammad, he is living and does not die. فَكَأَنَّ النَّاسَ لَمْ يَسْمَعُوا بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ إِلَّا يَوْمَئِذٍ And it was as though the people had never heard that verse before that day. He's the one who brings about this healing and reminds them that this is not about a personality cult. This is not the chieftain who has died and the tribe of whatever is now bereft and has no possible future. It's not about Rijal, it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is the ultimate and the one who has promised good to this ummah. So he is the one who does this, and he recites this verse, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولًا Muhammad is only a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ Messengers have passed away before him. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ Is it, if you die or be killed, that you will turn back on your heels? And the people, as though they had not heard the verse until that day. So he brings them the shifa, the healing that is in the Qur'an. And then, of course, as Khalifa, radiallahu anhu, a unifying force, the Arabs of Najd rebel, he quashes the rebellion. He begins the process of ensuring the safety of the text of the Holy Qur'an, which is in the house of Hafsa. He's the one who begins the process of the expansion of Islam, the establishment of the Qadha. He's the one who lays the foundations for the whole post-prophetic religion of Islam, radiallahu anhu wa arda. So those were tumultuous times and gigantically traumatic times. The death of the one whose life had been more dear to them than their own lives suddenly departed, but of course, fi qulubina hayy, living in our hearts and in the lives of a quarter of the world's population to this day. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to learn from the last moments of the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to realize the truth of his prayers for the unity of this ummah, for the ummah to keep up with the prayer, and for the ummah, inshallah, to remain together and to have rida and contentment and gratitude ultimately, shukr for Allah's decrees. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ ولي المتقين نكال الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم محدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين فقال عز وجل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.